Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I'm Alec Mappa, here to introduce the queen of show business, the queen of all media, America's sister, Lonnie Love.
Alec, fresh from the Oscar.
Fresh from the Oscars. Like
champagne carpet. It wasn't red this year.
A champagne carpet. When I say, you know, that you are the queen of show business, I am not blowing glitter up your butt. You actually go to these events. You went to the Oscars and you held your own on the red carpet and on the champagne carpet. Excuse me. Who blew you away?
Oh my goodness, this is so many people that blew me away. But, you know, I really liked Sophie Carson. She had this beautiful white gown that was just lovely and beautiful and gorgeous.
There were a lot of really pretty white gowns this
beautiful
year.
White gowns. Because I think that the stylist had ended up getting the note that it was going to be a champagne carpet. So they wanted to put some more into it. And the ceremony was wonderful.
Right.
I think Everything Everywhere All at Once was just great. It deserved everything that it got.
So exciting.
And a big shout out to my friend Ruthie Carter, who is the costume designer for Wakanda.
She's the first black woman to win two Oscars.
Two. Yeah. So just a wonder. It was a historic night, Michelle. Yo.
Also in white. Also in a beautiful white dress. Eva Longoria was in white. She had like a Aztec kind of art deco dress that was so beautiful. Yeah. There were a lot of white dresses. The only dress I didn't like was Florence Pugh. I was
I like that with the cape and the shorts. It was different.
She had black bicycle shorts. And black platform Mary Janes and a big bed sheet. She looked like Tinkerbell trying to get away from a one-night stand.
Granny, I'm going to say, in person, it looked stunning. It looked stunning because you had the grandioso of the cape, you know, and it wasn't bicycle shorts. They were actually silk with patent leather.
Like bicycle shorts. They looked like bicycle shorts. She looked like she had stopped by a Big Five Sporting Goods and pulled on bicycle shorts. The other honorable mention, and we have so much Drag Race to catch up on.
Yes,
this is
do.
A really dense episode, was Fan Bing Bing. There was a Chinese actress named Fan Bing Bing in a silver glitter gown with straps and this gigantic green cloak, cape. And like, there was a lot of drag. There was stuff that looked like they'd been watching Drag Race. Cara Delevingne in that red dress that showed all the leg.
She killed it.
Yeah,
killed
that was like
it.
A RuPaul dress.
Yeah, definitely. You know what? This is the thing about Drag Race. You know, this show sets the fashion standards. Mm. A lot of people get their ideas by watching the queens, which is the reason why we love our Drag Race.
Yeah.
Season 15. Episode 13. Alec, we're getting down. We got the top five.
Top five.
Just at this point, because you've been looking at this show for years, what are the queens feeling? It's only five left. Can you give us...
Okay, spoiler alert.
Okay.
Before we go over anything, we have to spoiler... We're going to cover a lot today.
Yes.
And the things that we're going to cover, spoiler alert in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we're going to spill the tea in the mini challenge. We're going to celebrate teachers in the makeover maxi challenge.
Mm.
We're going to hear it for the girls in the lip sync, and we're going to read some of your Instagram messages today. So exciting.
Yes, we're actually going to read them.
Yes.
Alec looked them up, so just hold on to the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
We will read, and we appreciate it too. So
and our special guest today is Selena Estides, so stay tuned for that too.
Yes.
So the final five, they always do the makeover challenge with the final five. That's historically what they've done. And what happens is with the final five is It's the final five queens winnowing it down to the final four. They're going to take everything apart at this point.
Everything.
They're going to split hairs. So if there's a detail missing, I mean, they're going to look for it like a hawk. Because at this point, everybody's good. Everybody has a chance. So it's...
I love that.
Yeah, it's about splitting hairs at this point.
Well, squirrel friends, we are going to get into this episode, but it is time for 15 Seconds to Say. This is where Alec and I have 15 seconds to race and say all of our most important thoughts and takes on a topic given to us by our fabulous producers. Mm-hmm. We saw and heard from some wonderful teachers in this episode. So now we have to let the squirrel friends hear about our teachers, a teacher that has made an impact on our lives. So Alec, you're up first. Ready, set, say.
The two teachers that had the most impact on my life were my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Kendall, Mrs. Lois, Lynn Kendall, and Mrs. DeMatteis, my drama teacher in high school. They encouraged me to be myself.
Dad, good job!
Yeah. Oh, very good. I can't wait to hear about your teacher. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Ready, set, say.
I love my kindergarten teacher, Miss Baldwin. She is the person that taught me how to look so beautiful. And she was just, I adored her. She was so kind to me, especially in a world growing up in the projects, to go and see this type of woman.
Stop.
She was just great.
Wow. I could hear about her. Was she gorgeous?
She was
gorgeous.
So gorgeous. So gorgeous and so sweet. And, you know, it was a big difference between a lot of the women that I saw growing up in the projects versus going to school. So she made a big impression on me. So, you know,
my
what?
Kindergarten teacher was mean. I had Miss Pond. She was ancient. Miss Pond. She was like old school mean teacher. Like
she had the ruler.
Now, she would be considered emotionally abusive. She made one kid, as a punishment, stand in the garbage can.
Oh, no.
If you're going to act like garbage, you're going to have to stand in the garbage can.
Yeah, that's old school. She's old school. She was not playing.
Horrible.
You know what? Squirrel friends, if you want us to say something for 15 seconds, DM us or message us your ideas. We're getting them, and we're going to save them for later.
Mm-hmm.
Just DM us at Alec Mappa on Instagram or at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram and at Lonnie Love on Twitter. Let's get into this episode because it's a lot to cover, okay?
Okay. We said goodbye to Selena S. Titties last week.
She left a little shady mirror message, I believe.
Oh. Yeah. Well, everybody said last week was the episode of who should go home this week and why. Who deserves to go home this week and why. And so Selena left a message going, I guess I got what I deserved.
Yeah. In saying that people mentioned her. And she was very emotional. Which, you know, at this point in the competition, you know why. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you want to make it to the finale. You want to make it to the end. But I think also people lose sight of, I think it's important not to lose sight of gratitude. You can feel some kind of way, as the kids say, but you are on a global platform that's going to shoot your career into the stratosphere if you play your cards right.
Yeah.
Mistress brought up that she was the only one. She had a pageant answer.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's the right answer. It's the right answer. You can't, it's not an insult if I say Lonnie Love has to go home because she's my biggest competition.
Yeah. I mean, that's a compliment.
It's a compliment.
Yeah, and she gave it. Lucy is still shocked that she was in the bottom.
Yeah.
Lucy
needs one of those shock blankets that they put on you in the ambulance after a car accident for the first act of every RuPaul's Drag Race. Because if she doesn't win, if she doesn't in the top, she's always in a state of shock.
Well, that's because I believe of Lux, because Lux stands by what she said at the last episode, that Lucy's drag is generic. And Lucy believes, like, you know, I'm making my outfits. Mm-hmm. I'm giving it my all. Mm-hmm. You know, how am I dramatic? It's like now Lucy and Lux are at it again.
They're at it again. They won a comedy challenge together. And now it's war again, or as my grandmother used to say, guerra again.
Yes.
Yeah, Lucy stuck up for her own drag. She was like, I think this is just fine. And in Lux's defense, because I thought it was kind of shady to say, in Lux's defense, she said, it's just my opinion. She qualified by saying, it's just my opinion.
Well, she gave her opinion on everyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just that her and Lucy, this is just what they do. And, you know, at the end, all of these queens deserve to be where they are. It's just mm-hmm. like, okay, since we're talking about the Oscars, everyone deserved to be nominated that got nominated. Yep. In the end, it's one winner. But at least you had the nomination. And mm-hmm. so I think in the end, like you said, I think it's about being gracious and having gratitude.
Yeah. But like, I wonder what happens to people between getting the nomination mm-hmm. and the actual ceremony. I bet people are like, oh, what if?
It's a lot of campaigning that's happening behind closed doors.
Monique said she didn't do any campaigning. She said that she wanted the performance to speak for itself.
Yeah. Well, she went to a few events, I believe, and everything. I mean, when we say campaigning, we're not talking about, like, calling them up and... You know what I mean? There's some presence.
Listen, if you know what's good for you, you're going to vote for... Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're press. Your leg. You know, it's like, how is the press? You know, also, Monique really didn't have to because she was winning all the major awards.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, too, you don't have to physically go out and see people because she was just... Yeah. She was killing it, and it was a great... performance, and also you got to look at who she was running up against. So,
absolutely.
You know, it stands out. But absolutely. As we know, in the end, it's going to come down to what, Alec?
The tiny details. It's what I said. They're going to be looking at the details because that's all they can take apart. If everybody's amazing, then they have to really dissect the minutia.
This is when... you know, the cream rises to the top, and mm-hmm. in comes RuPaul. Let's talk about that outfit.
Okay, this RuPaul was all in white, white shoes, white pants, white shirt, and wore a duster that was red and white, candy striped. But the stripes were all squiggly. So it looked like, he looked like that Gleam toothpaste. Remember that toothpaste that comes out in the mm-hmm. different colors? Mm-hmm. That's what this reminded me of. Very, very cute. And also, he had somebody with him. He had a special guest to read the mini challenge.
Well, we're going to get to that because I got to take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break and we'll talk about this outfit because it's really spectacular. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So Ru is introducing the mini challenge and brings out a friend from Anastasia Beverly Hills Cosmetics.
Ooh, who isn't?
Norvina. And she comes out dressed like Lady Gaga. She comes out dressed like a drag queen. She has a platinum blonde wig that's something that Katya or Alyssa Edwards would wear. And this stocking Nude Illusion bodysuit that had like these black embellishments going all the way through and a black kind of taffeta peplum. Like she mm-hmm. was dressed like a queen. I thought it was awesome.
Well, she is a queen because she's the president of Anastasia Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
I just love supporting women. Mm-hmm. I think that this was a cute way to bring her out and make her part of the mini challenge. So,
and she looked great.
Yeah, Rue says that the queens should know each other inside and out after spending several weeks together. Mm. And it's time to put that to the test. Okay, let me put something to the test. Let's see.
Right.
We've been spending time together.
Okay, are you going to give me a test? Here we
go. Yes. Okay. Right. What's my favorite color?
Purple.
You're wearing purple. Okay, ask me a question about you.
What's my favorite color?
Purple. You know what? What
happened to me in Las Vegas?
Oh, you started crying because some drag queens were telling their story and you got emotional about it.
No,
and
that was in Pensacola, Florida.
Oh,
in Vegas.
You were in the elevator and there were some black women that it was like, you don't know us. And you do the voice so much better. So much better, okay?
Ask me another Lonnie question, something that I'll know.
Okay.
I know you grew up in the Brewster Projects.
Mm-hmm. Who is my favorite singer?
Diana Ross.
Yes!
Yes!
Okay. You have been listening to me.
I have been listening to you. During your Oscar campaigning thing, I thought about Diana Ross because when Diana Ross was up for Lady Sings the Blues, mm-hmm. Berry Gordy was the very first person to campaign for Diana Ross in terms of a print ad in The Hollywood Reporter and Variety.
I remember
And nobody
that.
Had ever done that before. And mm-hmm. so they were put off by it.
Oh.
They thought, oh. And then the following year... everybody did it. But
yeah.
the very first person to campaign in a print ad campaign, vote for Diana Ross, was Berry Gordy for Lady Sings the Blues.
And back then, it was her and Cicely Tyson were up.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, and I think that's what split their vote. So, you know. Because at that time, it was like unheard of, you know. So, for the mini challenge, they will be playing everyone's favorite new game show, Spill the Tea. Tell us about it.
Spill the Tea. The game show goes as follows. Ru will ask for the tea, like who is the prettiest queen. Then the queens will all vote for either themselves or a fellow queen. If their answer matches the majority, they receive a point. Mm. Whoever has the most points at the end wins.
Oh my goodness. This was so cute.
This was very cute.
I didn't think that it's about spilling tea. I think it should have been spilling shade, but okay. That's
because
what I thought.
All the question answers were mistress. People were asking, who's the shadiest? Mistress. Who's the hairiest? Mistress. Which queen is most likely to steal your Anastasia Beverly Hills cosmetics?
Mistress. Yeah, no, but then the queen that thinks she's the smartest, everyone said Lucy. Mm-hmm. It's like even Lucy voted for herself.
Yes. When she said which queen is going home next, she said herself, Lucy, because she wanted to win this mini challenge.
Yeah.
And she did. She won the mini challenge.
$5,000 worth of cosmetics from Anastasia Beverly Hills.
Oh my God. Every time Lucy wins a challenge, I breathe a sigh of relief. I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. She's won a challenge. Okay, we don't have to deal with the trauma of her not being at the top. Oh, my gosh.
It was so funny. Yeah. But this is the thing about these challenges.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the mini challenge is just as important as the maxi challenge. Because
okay, there was a question in this episode of like, do mini challenge wins count as much as the maxi challenge?
Mm-hmm. And they do.
Do you think they do?
I don't know if they necessarily count, but they do matter. Because usually if you win the mini challenge, then that means that you are in control of something.
Yes. Okay.
And so that helps
your
strategy.
It gives you the power to do something to the other girls.
So then we move on from that to the maxi challenge that Ru announces.
That's right. Ru tells the queens a lot of people have influenced him over the years. David Bowie, Cher, and his high school drama teacher, Mr. Pennell. He was the first person to tell him, Ru, don't take life too seriously. Those words made a big impact on Ru. Sharing a good teacher can change your life. And this was really sweet. They showed a picture of Ru and Mr. Pennell at Ru's, when Ru got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That was lovely.
Teachers... I just want to give a shout out to all the teachers. They're underpaid.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times they don't get support. Mm-hmm. I tried. There is a program with Amazon where teachers can have a wish list.
Yes.
And so the beginning of school years, there are several teachers. I usually pick 10 and I look at their wish list and I try to fill their wish list through Amazon for their classrooms. Because it's like we have to show our support for these educators that are helping. I just think it's just a wonderful thing.
They raise our kids. They spend more time with our kids. If you have a kid in elementary school, that teacher is spending more time with your kid during the year than you are. So what you said about supplying teachers with their wish list, we had that at our kids' elementary school. The teachers would email all the parents, these are the things that we need. And we would always buy everything because since you are so underpaid, you shouldn't be digging into your own pocketbook.
Yeah, you shouldn't be digging into your own pocket.
But these teachers do.
They do.
They go out of their way. A good teacher will go out of their way.
Well, they care. I mean, and Abbott Elementary, the sitcom on ABC,
did
a whole episode about the list and things like that. And shout out to Quinta Brown. I saw her at one of the luncheons and she thanked me and she thanked us for supporting Abbott Elementary
and just
supporting her and stuff. It's just nice to see our fellow comedians because she's a comedy writer. You know, this is what we do. Like a lot of times people don't know as comics, what we're trying to do is increase our platform. So we do the stand up, we do the podcast, we develop shows, and she's been one of successful and to have a show to hit network at this moment because everybody's going streamy, but to be a success on a network.
On a network is
and it's
unheard
about teachers.
Of. Yeah.
It's great. So just shout out to her and shout out to everybody.
It's
Shirley
Rapp,
everybody. So now it's time for the queens to change the lives of some good teachers through the miracle of drag.
Yes.
Let's meet the teachers.
All these teachers are going to get a drag family makeover from the queens that they're matched up with. So first to come through is Mrs. Marchbanks from middle school, teaches middle school humanities, and she is paired up with Sasha. Mrs. Reyes, a first grade teacher, is paired up with Lux. Oh, by the way, we should mention that Lucy had the power to match up all the queens.
Which goes back to my point of because Lucy won the mini challenge, she was allowed to pick and match up, first pick who she wanted to be with, and then pair up the other teachers. And this is when strategy comes in.
Yes. Lucy picked for Lux, Mrs. Reyes, a first grade teacher who was not a black woman, didn't look like Lux. And so Lux started saying in Lux's confessional that she was being set up. I don't believe so, because Raven in an earlier episode felt like somebody was giving her the hardest makeover, but she says, I'm going to make this work. And ended up working with this guy who was like a veteran, an army veteran, who was amazing, and they ended up having, I think they ended up winning. It was incredible. So next up we have Lucy picked for herself Mrs. Wallace, who's a middle school choir teacher. She picked for Anitra Mrs. Mahoney, who teaches kindergarten, and for mistress she picked Ms. Tang, who teaches high school art. For the maxi challenge, the queens need to transform these fearless educators into flawless glamazons.
Okay, my thoughts on this.
Okay.
I thought that Lucy, of course, picked the person that she knew that she could make look like her. And then I guess I was kind of disappointed when Lux was like, oh, you know, you gave the only black woman. Mrs. Reyes is a woman of color.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if we're saying that we're going to be beyond that, you have to... It's just, it's something that did it to me. I can't really explain it.
It was a little off-putting because these women are volunteering. They're already heroes. They're already teachers. So they should, each of them should be treated like a queen.
You know why I think I'm feeling this way? Because when I did Celebrity Drag Race, my drag mom was Trinity the Tuck. And if Trinity the Tuck would have looked at me like, I don't know why I'm getting emotional. Great. Yeah. Like, you know.
It would have hurt. Yeah. It would have been hurtful. It would have been hurtful. And also, it's like the whole drag challenge is about, I want to find the fierceness in you. I want to find out what's glamorous in you.
But I think Lux was kind of in her head because she wants to get to the top.
I know.
And so it's hard to really explain it, but it's like, girl, this is a challenge where you don't make someone else feel like they're not good enough.
I know. Oh, Lonnie, don't
cry. So I felt for Mrs. Reyes because it's like, for her just to say, you know, this is something out of her wheelhouse, you don't make someone feel bad.
I know, when they're already vulnerable.
But that's how I felt. So we'll see.
So Lux, don't go to your locker after school. Lonnie's gonna fuck you up.
No, we just have to get off of this. I have to have a black one in order to win. It's like, no, you don't. You're supposed to transform this, you know, teacher and make her fabulous and make her feel
good about herself.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And you know what? I don't think that was Lux's intention, but it came across that way. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. But just the drama of it.
Yeah.
Me watching it, I felt bad for Mrs. Reyes. So anyway, they're going to transfer them. And then the judges are looking for a strong family resemblance between the queens and their teachers. Here again, because Mrs. Reyes is not black, she's Hispanic. I think that's what I'm saying. I think Lux got it in her head. Like, she's
got
a bigger woman.
Head.
She's older. She doesn't. Yeah. Honey, you have to. This is your challenge. You have to think about it.
I know.
And there's a way to make her like. And we have blended families. We have mixed race families, everything.
And the other girls took the right tack. I mean, because what Mistress Isabel did, she got the art teacher. And they hit it off immediately. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, like, art teachers were so important. Art teachers were the teachers that I loved in school. And the art teacher that Mistress got, Ms. Tang, talked about being queer and being a queer teacher and being a safe space for the kids in school.
Right.
And I love that. Anitra got Mrs. Mahoney, who is also half Filipino and is a kindergarten teacher.
And they connected.
And they connected. And Mrs. Mahoney talked about, and this reminded me of my own kid, about how kindness is so easily taught to kids in kindergarten.
Yes.
That people being different. And I never thought about it this way, that when you're 5 years old, you already have a lot of empathy. Mm-hmm. You already have a lot of natural kindness in you. Mm-hmm. I have a niece who has Down syndrome, and she has this thing, she's being educated in what's being called mainstreaming, meaning she's not shuffled off to special ed. She's in the kindergarten class with the other kids. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it teaches the other kids enormous empathy. Mm-hmm. By having her in the classroom, they get to communicate with her and they're educated, and it brings out so much kindness and empathy in the other kids.
I just think that is wonderful. And Sasha got Mrs. Marchbanks, who's a middle school humanities teacher. This is what I loved about Sasha. Sasha is like, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to pad. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, because she talked to her, she asked her, what is it that you want to do? Mrs. Marchbanks was like, whatever. I love this show. Let's do it. Let's go all the way out, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she did. She found something to connect them.
Yes.
But that's what happens when you talk to someone, when you ask them, what are you comfortable
with?
Right. What are you
comfortable
with?
Because we're playing, you're going to be my family. You're going to be my sister or my mom or my aunt. We're going to be family on the runway. So we have to get to know each other.
Well, even Mistress was like to Mrs. Tang, you know, can I, you know, shave off your eyebrows? And Mrs. Tang was like, wait, what?
It's like, what?
You know what I mean? It's like just talking, I think, talking to people, making them feel comfortable when you're transforming someone else in drag. And I'm saying that because that's what happened to me. You have to find out what they're comfortable with. Some people go all out. Some people, you got to kind of nudge them a little bit. But if you talk to them and if you show this excitement, the way Anitra did, you know, the way Sasha
Lucy did with her middle school teacher, Mrs. Wallace, she was very encouraging. She was very kind of like wanted to get to know her. I think that Lux got in her head. And was kind of like got immersed into the design, the design challenge and what she was going to wear and how she was going to make up her face, that she didn't, in this version that we watched, I didn't really see her getting to know her teacher, Miss Reyes.
Well, that's what I mean. At one point, she finally was talking to Mrs. Reyes. And this is when we get into the workroom prep day.
And
that's when they started talking about religion.
Mrs. Reyes has queer kids. Mrs. Reyes kind of came out about having queer kids and counseling queer kids. And that's when Lux kind of finally opened up about her own journey, starting out as a drag queen, whether or not her parents were accepting and all that. So that rapport was established on the second day.
But it should have been done on the first day, is what we're saying. It should have been
It should have been done. Then that way, everybody could kind of loosen up. You could get to know more of her and see what she likes, you know. Mm-hmm. Also, the queens and the teachers were sharing stories with each other. And it was just nice.
Yeah.
Sasha is going to, you know, of course, use her ponytail. Because RuPaul comes in and RuPaul is so funny. She's like, it's a PTA meeting.
Yeah. Don't flunk it up.
I love it. I love all the puns that she was using.
Yeah.
And so Sasha says that she's going to have a ponytail and make it tropical and artisty.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mrs. Marchbanks was all up for it. It's like she was just so excited.
All of them were. They were all super excited to be there.
I mean, really, really was.
You could tell they were having so much fun.
Mistress and Mrs. Tang, they were vibing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They were giving drag names. So Mistress gave Miss Tang the drag name of Madam Thang.
Madam Thang. I love it.
And because she is a bigger girl, we know that Mistress loves her biscuit heels. She's going to give Miss Tang biscuit heels, but make it a velvet gown. Or the way she was describing it at first, it's going to be a gown to cover the heels. And
there's a lot of sewers in this final challenge.
Yes.
You know, Sasha sews, Anitra sews, Lux sews, Lucy sews, and Mistress, of course. So there wasn't anybody going, I don't know what I'm going to make.
Exactly.
I'm just going to have to
try. Everybody
something
has something
you.
In their mind. Yeah. So Anitra has Mrs. Mahoney. She's going to make Mrs. Mahoney, she told Rue, an edgy bad bitch just like her, have some fun. And Mrs. Mahoney was all for it.
Yeah.
Lucy with Mrs. Wallace named her La La Duca. And she's going to make them rich ladies at the beach. And she says, well, she's too young to be my mother, so she'll be like the rich auntie and I'm, you know, the niece. And
The fun aunt.
So they're setting up, you know, something like that. And then Lux and Mrs. Reyes, she named her
Asia Azul.
Azul. What is an Azul?
I'm thinking Azul is like the demon that Sigourney Weaver played in Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, Jonathan, Azul. Our producer, just said is the color blue.
Okay. Asia Azul.
All these fancy damn. Just say blue.
Okay, blue.
Oh, because Nora is black. So Lux, Noir, London. So Asia.
Okay, I get it now.
Okay,
all right.
Really? Okay.
It takes a while. Fancy. Listen, I couldn't wait to see these looks. The first reveal that they had was Mistress with Miss Thang. And when she did it, when she turned around and looked in the mirror, you could tell that Madam Thang was feeling it.
Oh, are you talking about when they were still in the workroom and they were doing their makeup and stuff? Yeah,
doing the makeup. Yeah.
You know what? That point, because when I did Celebrity Drag Race, I just want people, the Squirrel Friends, to know the queens actually do your face.
Like makeup.
You sit down and you have this conversation, you have this talk.
And it was Trinity doing your face.
Yes, it was. Wow. It's Trinity, and she was just beautiful. I mean, it's like I'm looking at her, and I'm like, oh, you know?
Wow!
It's like she's just beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's about the eyebrows. It's about, you know, getting the skin ready and all of that. And it's like it's a wonderful, beautiful process. And I remember looking over because I was competing with Tammy
and Vanessa Williams
and I'm looking over there at Vanessa, and Vanessa has this red sparkly lipstick that she was putting, and I was like, I want my lips to sparkle.
Like Miss Vanessa Williams. But you know what? Your Oscar gown was beautiful. I posted it on my Instagram story.
Oh, thank you.
You were in a full-length gown. I couldn't see the shoes, but I knew you were wearing sneakers.
Nope, or a wedge I was wearing biscuit heels.
You wore a biscuit heel.
Just for a little bit of height.
You were in almost like a smoky gray full-length gown with glitter embellishments. It was so pretty.
Thank you. I'm really being encouraged every week by watching the queens and RuPaul. It's like people want to see beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And if you're on a global stage like the Oscars, you know, a global red carpet, okay, try it.
And then, I don't want to see what you look like at the Super A. I want to see what you look like glamorous. So here's my question, Oscar goer. Can you wear that dress again now that you've worn it out in public? Or is it like it's going to the Goodwill? I mean, what happens?
Technically, you're not. That particular dress, I had three dresses because I worked three different events. That was specifically for the carpet, and it was a loner. So I gave it back.
Oh, it was a loner.
Yes. Yes, Squirrel Friends. They loan us dresses because they're very expensive.
When I'm on a show, I borrow stuff from the clothes all the time. Exactly. When I had to go to Ugly Betty, because I'm cheap, too. When I was on Half and Half and Ugly Betty, they would always dress me up for events, and they were all loners. Oh. I had Dolce & Gabbana suits.
Yep.
I mean, there was nothing that I would buy for myself. It was so extravagant, but I would have to give them back. I would always dry clean it and give it back.
Yeah, you dry clean it and give it back. As a matter of fact, let me go get it, because I got someone's knocking at the door, and we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I got to get the dress back.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Lonnie has given back the gown, so everything's going to be... You know what I'm always worried about the next day? What? The people who have to give back the jewels. Oh, I mean, after the show, there's like an armed guard from the jewelry store. They have to give it right back to the guard.
Yeah, isn't they do. And it's always insured, so, you know, you don't want to mess up with that jewelry.
If you get drunk and lose it at the Vanity Fair Oscars.
You know, we're at the workroom elimination day, and there's the chat about the teachers' reactions to how their makeup is coming together before the runway. There's jokes. Sasha said that Lux's teacher, Mrs. Reyes, looks like the...
One of the heads from Easter Island. Which was not kind, but she wasn't done yet.
She wasn't done.
But they're all being shady with each other because they're all, you know, they're all being shady queens to each other. Yeah, Mistress Isabel looked at Lucy's and said, she looks just like Lucy. I don't know if that's a good thing. And Lucy said that Mistress's queen looked like a Disney villain.
She did. With all that black hair and her, you know, but she wasn't done. That's what people got to say. You know, the outfit is the outfit. Mm-hmm. You do your face.
Yeah.
You do the hair. When you're getting ready, what do you do first?
Like, I do my face first and my hair last.
Yes.
I do the face first. And also, if I'm wearing a nice shirt, then I have to put the tissue in the shirt right. So that I don't get any makeup on my collar. I can do my own face for events. I prefer not to.
Yeah.
I'd rather have an expert do it because I'm not very good at it. I once saw myself pictures of me on a red carpet the next day, and I used the wrong bronzer, and I looked like an Oompa Loompa. I look like I should have had a green wig and striped stockings and pushing a German kid into a chocolate river. That's what I look like. It was bad.
That's why lighting is so important, squirrel friends. Mm-hmm. When you're applying makeup, make sure that you have the proper lighting.
Have you ever gotten it wrong? Have you ever done your own makeup and went,
all the time. I'm like, oh my God. And then the thing is that they're not edited. So you can't, you don't have the filter.
They're not edited? Oh, yeah. Here's my red carpet tip. Iron. Iron. If you're wearing something that's supposed to look like, because I once got dressed in a hurry. I went onto this red carpet with a suit that had not been ironed. I looked like I got dressed in the dark and I was leaving a burning building. Also, check your teeth. Before you go on the red carpet, I've done the red carpet with salad in my teeth.
Oh, my God. And they do not edit.
And I look like I had a tooth missing. No,
honey,
it did not look good.
They do not edit. No, so no. In the workroom, we see Anitra talks about how kids are not born with hatred. It's taught. Mm-hmm. Do we think, and the question, which was a really great conversation that Anitra had with her teacher, do you think homophobia, transphobia, etc., can be unlearned?
Yeah, they can. It can be because kindness can be taught.
Yes,
kindness is taught. I mean, sexism is taught. Racism is taught. There's a musical, South Pacific, with a very famous song in it that was controversial at the time, called "You've Got to Be Carefully Taught," that to hate people who are different. To hate people who don't look like you. Mm. We adopted our kid when he was 5. And we told him right away that all families look different from one another. Some people have one mom. Some people have two dads. Some people have, a mom and a dad. Some people are raised by their grandma. You're being raised by two guys, And I said, look at us. I'm Filipino. Papa is Cajun, which means he's from Louisiana. So he's kind of French. And you're black. But the thing that makes us a family is that we all love each other. Yep. So on the first day of school at kindergarten, he's running to the car. And a kid from kindergarten and says to my son, "You have two dads?" And my son goes, "Yeah." And the little girl goes, "Why?" And he goes, "'Cause we're French." It's not complicated to kids. It's not complicated.
My grandbabies, who are my step grandbabies, James's grandbabies, they're white. They're white than the driven snow. Mm. I mean, and when I say we love each other so much, and their parents do a great job, and when they come over to visit, and by the time they leave, they're listening to Al Green, and their parents are like, okay, they love R&B now, and that's just we have families now, and we're of mixed cultures, and it's just a beautiful thing. And it's just, kids don't look at that. They look
kids
at who's loving them.
Yeah, who's loving them, who cares about them. And a lot of, there's all this controversy about drag queens reading to kids, and all these people protesting have never gone to a drag reading at a library that's for children, And what people are missing also is these readings are also for kids who feel different. Mm-hmm. Kids that feel like they don't fit in, or I'm a weird kid. I certainly felt that way. And if I'd gone to a drag reading, these drag readings, they're also teaching kids kindness and empathy for people that are different and to embrace diversity and not be afraid of people who don't look like you.
It's just a wonderful thing. But that's what we keep fighting for. We keep fighting for being inclusive and being tolerant. And, that's not grooming. It's not at all.
That's not grooming. That's not grooming if you're teaching a kid to be kind.
Yeah, definitely.
It's grooming if you're teaching a kid to be cruel. That's you're grooming your kid to be kind of like, a hateful kid. So, let's head to the main stage. After all that, we head to the main stage.
Oh, RuPaul's outfit.
Okay, this is like, I haven't seen this on RuPaul before. Okay, stay with me here. A patent leather Burberry pattern. Like a Burberry pattern, that Burberry plaid that's in black and white and yellow. So she's wearing like a mini skirt version with a Burberry pattern and Burberry pattern boots that go all the way up to her thighs. This reminded me of like the houndstooth gown that she had on earlier that had the feathers on it. Like on paper, I was like, how's that going to work? But this was so unusual and so beautiful. it totally worked.
Yeah. I think she wanted a younger vibe, like, mm-hmm. you know, like a college vibe. And I thought yes. that was really cute. And yes. I enjoyed it. So.
Me too.
And who's our special guest judge?
Our special guest judge is an actress and singer, Hayley Kiyoko. She's so cute. I've seen her in a bunch of stuff. I saw her when she guest starred on Insecure. She was absolutely hilarious. And we have our family, the established judges, Michelle Visage and Ross.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about the family resemblance when we get back. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, family resemblance time. It's time for the big runway. Oh, Rue also did a twist at the end of introducing this challenge to them in the workroom mm-hmm. that all the teachers are going to have to do a lip sync for their life.
That was so cute.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
The runway category is drag family resemblance.
And? Sasha Colby is the first to come out with Ferocity Colby. Again, that's Mrs. Marchbanks. They come out as like tropical twins.
So
Mrs.
cute.
Mrs. Marchbanks' makeup was just like Sasha Colby's. She mm-hmm. looked so beautiful.
They look like sisters.
Yeah, they look like sisters. And you could tell that she was living the fantasy. Mm-hmm. They were both padded to the gods. They had extra big boobs, extra big hips and butt. And they were in this tropical print that had a nude illusion squiggle stripe going down the middle, in between the cleavage going down to the side on the waist.
Sasha was in the long version. Mrs. Marchbanks was in the short version, which actually shows you, you know, her fierceness, you know. And yeah. she also had the famous Sasha ponytail, which was yes. great, you know.
It looks so good on her. But I think the thing that I enjoyed the most about this look was how much the teacher loved being this drag queen.
Which is my point.
Yeah.
The whole point of doing this is to, one, I believe, and this is from what RuPaul says, let the children see you do something different.
Yeah.
You know, outside of the classroom,
yeah.
you know, and do something fun. And
yeah.
do some, so I think that this was, you know, she was all game for it. And this is one of the results that when you get someone who's all game for it, Sasha knows, you know, to tell her body. They had the padding, which gave it the campiness.
Yeah.
It was just it was great.
Beautiful.
And they had that chemistry with each yeah. other. Up next yep. was Lucy LaDuca and Lala LaDuca, Mrs. Wallace.
That's right. And so they Lucy did kind of like a Palm Springs kind of Lily Pulitzer print dress, which was similar to her Palm Springs look. And she had it like an A-line skirt, but she had a coral cover suit, right? Like a
yes.
coral duster. Mm-hmm. What she did was she gave Lala LaDuca the coral dress, the coral colored dress, it cut in the same way that Lucy's dress was. And then she gave her the print as an outside overcoat. They had the same wavy blonde hair and mm-hmm. the same makeup. So you could definitely see the family resemblance here. The colors were in all the same wheelhouse. But again, while we're splitting hairs, the judge pointed out that Lucy was in this high-heeled glitter shoe mm-hmm. and Lala LaDuca was in like a red biscuit heel
yes.
that did not kind of like, it was didn't look as elevated.
And they said that, you know, you could have just added bling onto the shoe. That would have helped. Mm-hmm. Also,
but
the main thing that
detail.
They said was that there wasn't any chemistry mm. with them. They looked alike. They looked fabulous. I mean, mm. you know, these outfits were gorgeous, the thought process. But when they walked on the stage together, there wasn't any connection.
Mm.
And so it's like, how can you be family if you don't have a connection, if you don't have chemistry?
I know, I know. Next up, we had Madam Thang, Miss Tang, and Mistress Isabel Brooks. And Mistress Isabel Brooks was like a mean drag mom. She was like a strict drag mom the whole time. She said, you better serve. You
mm-hmm.
better look good.
Mm-hmm.
You better embody this. And she really worked with Miss Tang, Madam Thang, on this runway. They were both in full-length, kind of hip-hugging, Mae West-type dresses that each had a giant tulle boa. Mistress was in kind of a mint aqua color, mm-hmm. and she had Miss Thang, Madam Thang, all in black, the same silhouette with the hair and the dress. And mm-hmm. I could definitely see a family resemblance, not just in the silhouette, but in their character walk. Mm-hmm. They were both playing the same family, the mm-hmm. same Mistress Isabel Brooks family.
And even a judge's commented at the end, when they were leaving the stage, they both struck a pose. So they yeah. thought about their interest from beginning to end. They looked similar. It's just, even though it was different color dresses,
yeah.
they were similar. They looked like they were members of a family going to a wedding.
I'd be scared to have Mistress Isabel Brooks as my drag mom, because she was looking at her like a hawk, like, don't fuck it up. Do what I told you.
But you
do
know,
what I'm
I
telling
think-
you.
I think Mrs. Thang needed that because, yeah. you know, Mrs. Thang, who told us that she was queer, you mm-hmm. know, when you're queer and you've only been doing it for a couple of years, you
yeah,
need
you're,
someone
you haven't been
to
out
kinda,
for very long.
Yeah, yeah. You need somebody to like push you and say, hey, you can do this. You know, you're doing it and you're fabulous. And
yeah, she had the same thing that Sasha Colby's queen had, that inner confidence that you yes. could tell that while she was in all this drag, it was like a delicious meal.
Oh,
like
it, she it, loved it.
This is the power of drag. She really kind of felt the fantasy.
I mean, that, you know, it, you put that corset, everything, the padding, everything. It makes you feel like a woman, even accelerated. So Luxury yes. War London and Mrs. Asia Azul.
Mrs. Reyes came out. Okay, now this is, I have mixed feelings about this because Lux did look amazing and Ms. Reyes, Asia Azul, looked amazing, but they did not resemble each other. Lux did kind of like a 1970s Faye Dunaway Halston halter top dress that mm-hmm. was peach satin. And then she put Asia Azul, Ms. Reyes, in an aqua color, Azul, and she gave her a cape, which was amazing, with a peach satin lining mm-hmm. that didn't match, that kind of was evocative of Lux's peach satin, but it didn't match. I think that if it matched exactly, it could have, like,
well, that's what Michelle said. Michelle yeah. said she, you put five pieces of fabric and tied it in different knots, and
yeah.
you
yeah.
made a dress, and but this is not different. And Lux tried to say, well, the inside lining, mm-hmm. it doesn't match. She tried to say, oh, yeah. I made that coral. It's but like, it
didn't
match.
It doesn't match. It wasn't, yeah. if it had matched in the way that Lucy's did, and if their hair had been more similar, mm-hmm. also, I didn't feel that they had a connection. Initially, when Ms. Reyes came out, you could tell that she was a little nervous, but she really loved, she looked just like Jennifer Coolidge. It turns out she had did. No idea who Jennifer Coolidge
yeah, she's
was.
Like, who? Because she's yeah. working. She's yeah. working. She's a teacher.
But she looked like Jennifer Coolidge. And in fact, Rue's comment, she said a line from Legally Blonde, her look makes me want a hot dog real bad, which was one of Jennifer Coolidge's lines. She looked beautiful.
So what do you yeah. think, like you said, could have made them look more like a family?
I think similar hair. And she should have lined that cape with the same color, with the same fabric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think could have made them look more?
Yeah, I think the outfits definitely, it was like two different outfits.
Yeah.
I think the hair, maybe if she wouldn't have went blonde, maybe if they would have met somewhere in the middle.
Or if they were both blonde. I mean, you know, yeah. families come in all shapes and sizes. You don't have to look exactly alike.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just, you know, there are compromises that you
yeah.
do. And you, yeah. you know, when you have a bigger person and you're the smaller person, there is a way to meet in the middle. You
right.
know, Mrs.
Right.
Reyes is not going to wear that type of top. So you should have,
right.
you know, worn something that was a little more like hers to make
yes.
her feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah. because the dress you made for her was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. Which also proves, case in point, you have to look, don't look exactly alike, was Electra, Mrs. Mahoney, the kindergarten teacher, and Anitra.
Oh. They were so cute.
She was very petite. She was so cute. And when they came out next to each other, you know, Mrs. Mahoney's tiny and Anitra statuesque. And Rue said, Anitra, now in the new travel size.
That was so cute.
Yeah. They did a cat suit, a one-legged cat suit. And in a nod to her culture, Anitra said she gave her a Mandarin collar, which is an Asian look. Mm-hmm. And they did kind of a yin and yang symbol. You know, that yin and yang with the squiggly thing bisects the circle.
Yeah.
And she gave her, Mrs. Mahoney referred to the embellishment on her arm as arm foreskin, but
yes.
it was actually a sash that was attached to her wrist. And they both had Anitra type hair and they looked beautiful. They looked absolutely
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
They had chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that they were having fun together. And this is what happens when you talk and you just sit there, and it was just great.
Right.
So now we're up for the draguation. Mm-hmm. And we see the teachers lip sync for their lives to Champion by the one and only RuPaul. I thought they had a great time.
And the teachers looked like they were having a blast. You could tell they were having so much fun. The judges were cheering them on. Oh. And Ru very generously said, Shantae, you all stay.
That was, let me tell you, when I did the lip sync, we did two. We did a Rusical, and then we did the lip sync for our lives.
Wow.
And it was just so like empowering and fun.
Yeah.
And even if you don't know all the words, you know the song. And I'll never forget, our song was Mighty Real by Sylvester, which I love that song. It's something about drag that just makes you just happy.
Because we've all as kids lip synced in the mirror holding a brush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all done that, you know, hear or heard our favorite song on the radio and pretended. And when you lip sync Diana Ross, you get to be Diana Ross. When you lip sync Sylvester, you get to be Sylvester. So that's the thing that's freeing about drag, is you can literally, one of the expressions is live the fantasy, because feel the fantasy, because you get to embody the fantasy.
Definitely. So the teachers were given a 3-night stay in Palm Springs. And the challenge winner was Anitra. She wins a cash prize of $5,000 for herself and her teacher. The bottom two were Lucy LaDuca and Lux Noir London. Now,
I agreed with the bottom two. I think that the shoes not matching was kind of like...
this is the thing. Yeah. And I'm looking back, and I was thinking about it as I was watching it. Lucy thought that she was being strategic. And sometimes... you can be nice and you can still win. So if you would have gave Lux...
Mrs. Marchbanks, the black teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no guarantee that she would have won.
No.
But I think Lucy wouldn't have been at the bottom.
And also, it could have been... Lux could have looked at it, you think you're screwing me up? I'm going to kill this challenge.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We're going to look so much like family.
Right.
You know, which is what Raven did. Because Raven thought that somebody was working against her. And so she said, I'm going to take my veteran. I'm going to make him look amazing. And that's what she did.
Yeah.
It was amazing. So they're their bottom two.
And I just want to say this last thing. Lucy cannot say, because she won the challenge, she basically ended up putting herself in the bottom. So she can't blame anybody.
She can't blame anybody. So they lip sync to For the Girls by Hayley Kiyoko. It was a really fun lip sync.
It was.
They were both working super hard.
Super hard.
Truth be told, I didn't think that Lucy looked as confident in her lip sync.
Yeah.
With the words. I mean, if that's the lip sync challenge, is you have to know the words so you could really act it out.
And have some dance moves and go with it. The winner was Lux.
Lux.
Sent home was Lucy LaDuca.
Yeah. She said her exit line was, just make sure to tell them I wasn't just a great set of boobs. I'm also an incredible set of legs. So Lucy's exit interview... she was understandably upset, but you could tell that she was like, I just wanted to be in the finale. And you could feel all her disappointment. And again, I think they should start next week's show with Lucy in the workroom going, I should have been in the finale.
That would be hilarious. But she also took a dig at Mistress. She said Mistress girl, she put her girl in a stretch dress. I was like,
listen, you can't argue with results. They were in the top and, you know.
But what I'm saying is, I think the lesson here is not just about what you wear. It's your attitude. It's your chemistry with, you know, your person. Yes, you can look great. But if she was looking one way and you're looking the other way, you know, you're not connecting.
Yeah.
That had a lot to do with it, too. And from head to toe, we said, and Ross told them, it's the details that we're looking
at
now.
It's the details.
And it's like, your shoe is totally different than her shoe. It's like, if you knew she couldn't wear a biscuit heel, but you could dress it up.
You could dress it up. And it just reminded me of that expression, that saying, it's been attributed to Maya Angelou, but I don't know if it's actually accurate, but it says, people will never forget what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel.
Yes.
And in this challenge, you really saw the women who felt celebrated and felt good and felt they were supported by a queen. So, you know, those are my thoughts.
Well,
just
you
an
know,
opinion.
We just want to say again to our five teachers, you ladies did a wonderful job, and you're all queens. Queens of the teachers, queens of the classroom, and queens of Drag Race.
That's right. And if you're a teacher right now and you're listening, know that Lonnie and I appreciate you and love you and have the utmost respect for what you do. And with that, we're going to toss to a break. But stay tuned, because after the break, our special guest is here. Selena Estides joins us. Yay!
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I'm so excited. Squirrel friends, we are so thrilled for our guest today. She is loud and made LA proud.
Yes.
The titties are here. Please welcome our queen of the day, Selena Estides.
Hello.
Applause, applause, applause.
Can welcome. I just say, Selena, your energy was so great for all of Drag Race. I loved your energy. I loved your positive vibes. I love that you brought your culture in. Mm-hmm. How are you, and how has it been being a Rue girl?
Ooh, oh my God. Well, thank you so much for having me. You guys are so, the energy you guys bring to your podcast review is so beautiful and light.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing. You know, because I'd be listening to the other podcasts and they don't feel that way when I listen to them.
No, this is the safe space for queens. We're here to, you know, if we ever offer criticism on the show, it's always helpful and it never gets personal.
Exactly.
Totally. So with that said, it's been such an interesting ride, you know, moving forward and like watching everything as it airs and like, oh, it's not as bad as I felt it was going to be, you know?
Oh, were you dreading it? Were you like, oh my gosh, how are they going to edit me? How am I going to look?
No, I mean, I think it was just such a, it's such a roller coaster there. You know what I mean? Figuring out the lay of the land, figuring out how to work the game. And it's just like, you leave so, you know, and I was Michelle's punching bag all season.
I know, Michelle. Good old Michelle. Back. You know, well, let's go back. Let's talk about the very beginning and how did you get the news and how did you prepare for Drag Race 15?
Yeah, so I'm a hustler, right? Pounding the puss to the pavement. So I've been working in LA for the past 15 years.
Attica.
You know, past 9 years as a drag queen, hustling every single day. So when I got the phone call for Drag Race, it was exciting. I was ready, you know, I'm ready to win. I came to win. I came to make a statement. I came to represent. And when I got there and we took off our makeup for the first time, I was like, oh, I don't have to work so hard anymore. Like, as hard as I wanted, I was like, all that hard work paid off and I'm here. And
then I love that. When you said you were here to statement, you were make a statement and represent, I think that your first couple episodes were a masterclass in branding. Because when you came out with the outfit, with the boxer shorts and the tattooed torso, I was like, I know who she is. I know this girl. I know where she's coming from. And it's like, you know, some queens, it takes you 4 or 5 episodes to go, who's she?
Yeah.
Is that what we can expect when we come to see a Selena Estides show? We see all of your personality?
1,000%. And you know what? I really wanted to showcase, you know, the first impression is everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, walking into the workroom, I, Estides and who I am as Jason is just such, I feel like I want it to be a safe space for you to be like, that's my homegirl. That's the girl who would buy me a bag of chips if I was hungry and I needed it. And that's very much who I am. But then it's drag, honey. So we're loud, we're crazy, we're over the top.
So are you a Cancer? Are you a Cancer like me and Lonnie?
I'm a Libra.
Okay.
So I want you to like me. I need you to be a friend. You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Well, you were more than liked. You were loved, darling. Yeah. What's your favorite memory on Drag Race?
You know, I had so much fun doing the challenges. Like, doing the challenges on Drag Race has, like, been the one thing in my life that my life has prepared me for. You know what I mean? Like, although, you know, she was in the bottom for some. Like, I didn't think I should have been. But I just loved executing the challenges. I was like, oh, I get to do what I'm good at. In this realm on TV is so sickening. It's so cool.
Yeah, and you did it. I mean, you did LA proud. You did yourself proud. My question is, who is this girl? Who is Selena? Where'd she come from? Like, is she based on relatives? Is she based on you? Who is she?
She's very me at the end of the day. But yes, my cousins were these loud ghetto Latinas who, you know, at the party are laughing and dancing, having a good time. But as Jason, he's this underdog, unlikely ingenue in Hollywood trying to make it, who can't catch a break, but is gonna do it regardless. And that's who Selena is. And I really, with, you know, the idea of coming in so strong like that, I wanted people to think, who's this chola? Who's this ghetto bitch who probably can't perform? She probably can't do this and that. And I was like, no, girl, she can do all of it. And I wanted to get that impression at first so people have that idea of me, so I can prove them wrong and say, look, this girl can be that too, you know?
Right.
I mean, that Celine Dion in the Lollapalooza was excellent.
That was legendary.
And you could tell that you have experience. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's what puts you to the top as well. You know what I mean? How was it working with the other queens on the show that maybe didn't have as much experience? I mean, did you feel bad? Did you try to help them or what?
You know what was interesting was, I don't know if y'all noticed or clock the tea, but you can rewind. All the girls would pick me to work in their groups. Mm. Like Anitra, Mistress, Marsha, Lux, they all wanted to work with me. I was always in their groups and we were always in the strongest groups together.
Right.
So for the most part, most of the girls I worked with, we were all very strong with what we were able to bring to the table. And I think I'm a team player, you know, I'm here to help the group. I want us to look good. I want us to be good. I feel like everyone I worked with really brought their A game and we all play to our strengths together. And I feel like if you watch the season, all the challenges where we had group challenges, they went over fairly well every time I was in, except for the design challenge.
Which, we don't remember that one.
You know, you mentioned Michelle earlier, and Michelle is pretty tough, but I think that she loved your energy. This is what I read, and knowing Michelle, like we do, because we've been judges on the show. She loved your energy. She loved your creativity. Nobody ever said anything about your hair or your beat.
Oh, your beat is
all your beat was
bitch
flawless. It was all about kind of like moving you towards like elevating your drag, kind of like working on the tailoring, working on the finishing. Did you leave the season going, okay, these are the things that I need to kind of step up?
Correct. I totally hear the notes. I hear the fit issues. But, you know, going into Drag Race, I'm not a fashion girl. I never claimed to be a fashion girl. I know that about myself. Mm-hmm. I'm a storyteller.
Right.
I'm an actress. I'm here to make a statement. All my looks, whether they fit, whether they like them or not, had a story to them.
Right.
And one or another represented who I am, who LA is, who Latin people are. And like, yeah, execution could have used some work, but at least I was there to make a statement on the runway instead of just wearing another beautiful gown.
Yeah,
you know?
I love it. You know, you're really busy, queen, and you're doing TV shows, you're doing ad campaigns. Can you talk a little bit about bringing drag into those things and the Hollywood grind for you?
1,000%. So before Drag Race, I had to keep building myself up. You know, I auditioned 5 times. So every time I didn't get the call, I was like, well, what can I do to elevate myself, to be better? And what that looked like for myself and being out here in LA, I've been on TV shows. I've been on other competition reality shows. I've been doing movies, TV, film for a while. I don't believe that drag has to just stay in bars. And I don't want to see myself in a bar in 20 years, you know? So people have been carving that lane for a while and I've jumped into it. It's nothing new. Mm-hmm. You know, Miss Doubtfire, Eddie Murphy, hello.
Right,
they were you know, doing drag in these movies. It's been around. I want to see myself in that lane, in that realm. I remember on the set, I asked the girls at one point in the makeup mirror, I said, what would you guys do if you won? Like, what does your career look like? Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them wanted to make music. Some of them want to do fashion shows. Some just want to do bar gigs. That's all they want to do. And I said, bitch, I'm going past that. Yep. You know what I mean? whether I win or not.
Right.
It's available to us and we deserve the representation because we're capable. So I believe that.
I agree. I love hearing that because the real test of the queens on the show is their career post Drag Race. You mm-hmm. don't have to win to win. I mean, Trixie Mattel, Shangela, you couldn't have bigger careers they did not win. You said something about your community. I love how you represented the community. I certainly felt that when I was watching Philippine Drag Race. I was like, oh my God, it was like all my relatives. Have people shown up for you on social media, the Latino community in LA and elsewhere?
It's insane. The like amount of love that I get from people online and at my meet and greets. It's very, very beautiful, you know, because I left the show being so knocked down that when now it's being presented, there's people coming to me left and right saying, thank you for sharing that. Thank you. My mom sees myself in you. My mom is crying because you remind her of her friends who passed away, who she grew up with. And this like people are coming to my meet and greets wearing chola, like hoop earrings and like bringing me hot Cheetos.
Pride.
And
it's like, yeah.
It feels amazing. I never anticipated that this impact would be so important and personal to people, and it really is, and it means the world to me. It made all of, you know, the light, the street lamp dress, the EBT dress, it made all that worth it because they all related to it, you know, when the judges.
That's why it's so important. And I can see you getting emotional because, you know, this is the thing about Drag Race. This is why we love it, because no one is the same. So I just want to say thank you for being you and bringing your culture. And that's the thing that we always try to celebrate.
Yeah.
We also want to give our condolences to the passing of your mother. How have you been?
Thank you. Oh, I've been okay. It's been really hard. The interesting thing is like, my mom could have passed at any time while I was on the show, you know? So someone told me, I think she held out to watch me get on the show. And, you know, and then she passed. She'd been struggling that whole time.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. But when she passed away, it kind of, you know, I was so affected by the negative comments because I wasn't necessarily a fan favorite in the beginning when the Meet the Queens came out. I got a lot of hate from people and it was really rough. It was not what I was anticipating.
Don't read the comments.
I know. Yeah, oof. Yeah. But when that happened, you know, it kind of turned all of that nonsense off for me. It made Drag Race more enjoyable, actually, because it became a place for me to not have to deal with what was going on. You know what I mean? It was something my dad and my brother and my sister could all enjoy every week in this really dark time together and celebrate, you know.
And she got to see that beautiful, beautiful tribute you did to her in the Ripper to Shreds challenge.
Oh, that was
so emotional.
Genius. Genius.
Yeah, that was really, really beautiful and a lovely, lovely tribute to your mother. So I feel like not only did you bring your culture, you brought your blood and your family with you on the stage. So bravo for that. Cue the applause. I always say that drag is like a superpower and it's like a superhero identity, you know, like you're Diana Prince during the day and you're Wonder Woman at night. So in drag, what's your superpower? When you put on drag, what is your superpower on stage?
Jason out of drag is very quiet. I don't feel like I'm allowed to express my voice and my opinions. When I'm in drag, the microphone is mine, baby, and you're going to hear what I have to say. You know what I mean? Gives me the power to speak my truth and my heart and my voice, where Jason feels so insecure most of the time. Yeah. I don't feel like I can speak my up for myself.
I think, you know, the best thing is to keep reaching out to other people, Selena, just to make sure that you're okay.
Yeah. When my mother died, it was surreal. It was just kind of like I kept on waking up feeling like this can't be real. And, you know, we were saying how I read a lot about, you know, people passing the year that my mother passed because it was super painful. In old cultures, we used to wear black for a year to mourn, and it let everybody around you know that you were in that weird emotional space, you know, and you were given permission to grieve. So all I can say to you is just give yourself permission to grieve and know that it's your mother's love and your mother's light is always going to be a part of you.
She is so proud of you, and we are proud of
you. We're
proud
of you.
And we really, really are. You had a great run. What's next for you?
Thank you guys so much for that. What's next?
A cooking show.
I am working on my own telenovela, basically. It's gonna be a little My own little sitcom. I have ideas for creating my own lip liner kit because Estetis Chola lip liner's handy. I'm waiting for Cheetos, Hot Cheetos to give me a call so I can do a commercial, baby.
You gotta sell that merch. You gotta do that.
You know, I put Hot Cheetos in my punana one time.
I know. That's branding.
So she's busy, busy, busy. It's exciting. It's very exciting now that, like, now I'm off the show. Now I get to, like, focus on what's happening next. And that part is so, because the sky's really the limit. You know, like you guys said earlier, Trixie, Shangela, they built empires off of this platform. So I plan on taking full advantage of that in a way that, you know, I want Michelle to be like, bitch, let me be in your sitcom. And I'll say, maybe, girl. You know?
She holds a grudge. Listen, you're going to be showered with love at DragCon.
Yes, at DragCon. We can't wait to see you.
If you're attending DragCon, people are going to line up to see you. All of LA is going to line up to see you. Where can we find you on your socials?
Instagram is at Estitties, E-S-T-I-T-T-I-E-S. And then Twitter, my Twitter's hacked right now, so I'm trying to get that back.
We heard. Yeah, you were selling vacuum cleaners or computers.
Selling MacBooks. Yeah. Autographed MacBooks. That's Selena Estitties on Twitter, and I'm going to get her back. Don't worry.
Okay.
Well, we love you, Selena. You know what? I can't wait to see more of you and, you know, prayers and everything for you. And you did great. Just know that.
Thank you guys so much. That feels so good to hear.
No worries. No worries. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. We said we were going to read our Instagram messages, right, Lonnie?
Yes. You got some?
I got some. Our first message is from Jessie. And she says,
hey, Jessie.
She goes, hello. I love hearing you and Lonnie love on the, I love hearing you and Lonnie love on the Squirrel Friends podcast. You both make me laugh on my long commute. Thank you for that and your positive energy.
Aww.
And the other one I got was from Ontario, Canada, from Helene, and it says, hi, Alec. I'm a huge fan of yours and Lonnie. I love the podcast, and I have been up trying to draft up a message to send you for months. Oh, gosh. I honestly just didn't know what to ask. LOL. But here I am typing at 1 a.m. I just wanted to say thank you for being the queer representation we've always needed and to keep on doing the drag lord's work. That's Len from Northern Ontario, Canada. Thank you, Len.
Well, thank you so much for that. And you know what? Remember to tip your queens. Show them love on socials, especially at this time and moment in our country. Let's be kind to one another. Let's be supportive to each other. Let people be who they want to be. Life is very short. Live and be happy.
It's a tricky time right now. And another place you can show some love, if you would like and are able to, is go to ACLU.org/drag defense. Yes. The American Civil Liberties Union is a great resource to educate yourselves on what LGBTQ+ folks are going through. So this is a chance for you to take action and support queens across the country.
And don't forget to tweet or DM us if you have questions or hot takes for the queens at Alec Mappa on Instagram, at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram, and at Lonnie Love on Twitter.
You can listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you like this episode, make sure to rate and review us 5 stars, please, and tell a friend.
Watch all new episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15 every Friday on MTV, now 90 minutes.
Yes, finally. And we'll be back next time for an all new episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. We're at the final four.
Don't miss it. We're going down to the final four. We'll see you soon.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.